we're aiming to go from Turkey to Greece. So we're going to go from Kash, which is near Antalya, about 3 hours north, and swimming to Kostalarizo is the plan, which is a Greek island just a few kilometres off the shore of Turkey.
So it's a fairly long swim. What do you hope to achieve by that?
Well, I'm wearing two hats in the swim. And I'm seeing it and framing it as a solidarity swim for refugees as well as migrants who are currently crossing the Mediterranean and looking to come to Europe. And one of the hats I'm wearing is as a concerned citizen. I feel a strong moral motivation to do this swim as a solidarity swim. And that comes, I guess, like many of us today have been reading the newspapers and seeing so many thousands of people drowning off the coast of Sicily, being hit by tear gas in Macedonia or blocked by walls in Hungary. And it's a basic human concern that these are people too that we're seeing on our TVs and our newspapers. And these people have hopes, dreams, families. They've faced huge adversity, be it in conflict in Syria or Eritrea. And I want to do this swim to show solidarity.
These pictures of migrants are in the news all the time, and we are all, as Europeans and, well, as global citizens, seeing these pictures and thinking about the human cost. But do you think that the leaders are thinking about things in the right way, or do we need to shift our perceptions and stop calling it, for instance, the migrant crisis or the migrant problem?
I would agree completely with you on that. And what I would want to pitch is to reframe what is often described, in fact, as a crisis, as an opportunity that Europe currently has. And the first point, of course, is that Europe needs more workers, skilled and unskilled, and migrants mainly do the jobs that local populations shun. And there's lots of evidence of that. And a University of Oxford researcher, Heinder Haas, has found that generally migration has a positive effect on economic growth. And we also need to see the refugees, in particular that arrive, have faced huge adversity, like I was talking about. And I met a Syrian refugee in the weekend, Mohammed, who'd travelled for 4 months, much of it by foot, crossing over from Turkey, over the seas to Greece, and then up through Albania, walking for 10 days with very little water. He said he described 1 litre of water between 10 of them, and they were walking 10 to 12 hours. So these are people that have got huge abilities to overcome risk and adversity. And if I was to reframe it for Europe's leaders, I would say this is an opportunity, not a crisis. And actually, if we look back historically, the major irony here is that 70 years ago, it was the end of World War II, and the European continent was devastated by war. There was massive displacement and refugee populations. And what did the world do? Well, we created the Refugee Convention in 1950, and this obliged states to offer protection assistance to European refugees. And in fact, what's interesting is at the beginning, it was only European refugees. It was only decades later it was expanded to others. And then we also created the United Nations High Commission for Refugees in 1951 and the International Organization for Migration in 1951. And these were the institutions that helped Europe overcome the migration and displacement and refugee issues it had following World War II. So I would say to European leaders, why doesn't Europe do the same today?
So create a separate body that would deal not just with refugees coming from elsewhere outside Europe, but also migrants in general then?
I think there are a number of strands. So the first is that a lot of the people coming across today are across the Mediterranean that we're reading about in the newspapers, that is, are refugees. So there is existing international law that European leaders should be adhering to. And there is looks like there may be some movement in that with Angela Merkel's recent statement that they were going to accept in Germany all Syrians, regardless of where they had first arrived. So the key thing here is to note that refugees are protected under international law, which means that you can't return them to their place of origin, which is the non-refoulement. The second point, I think, is a broader point about global migration governance. And there are a number of people, as we know, who are coming from all different parts of the world, whether it be people like myself from New Zealand. I'm a New Zealander originally, from Asia, from the Americas, who want to migrate to Europe, from Africa, who are looking for labour opportunities. And some of them have particular human rights needs. And we have a very weak international architecture to protect the rights of migrants. And that's an area I think that there's much more scope for working on. The International Organization for Migration, which I mentioned earlier, does not have a mandate to openly criticize states about their treatment of migrants. Although we have a UN special rapporteur on the human rights of migrants, they are just one individual who does not have a lot of institutional power behind them to take on this issue.